Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio, obviously, coming to you from a really, really special place today. We've recorded Passion Podcasts in cities all over the world. Obviously, we've recorded our fair share at the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. We've recorded them in airports and cars, on planes, and just about everywhere you can imagine. But today, we're coming to you from such a special place in the history of the Passion Movement. If you've been around Passion for a while, you know we started in 1997 in Austin, Texas, which, interestingly enough, just a few weeks ago, on tour with Chris, we were in Austin, just 6, 8, 10 blocks up the street from the Austin Convention Center, January 1st, 1997, the very first Passion Conference, and that's where the whole movement began. We had no idea that I'd be standing here talking to you today. We had no idea that, you know, 14, 15 years of history would have gone by and millions of people around the world would be thinking about the fame of Jesus, the renown of Jesus, about making his fame known in our generation, about living for the glory of God. And in that journey, 14, 15 years, there's no more special place than the place I'm standing right now. It's getting close to late afternoon. It's about maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun's creeping down on the horizon, and I'm standing out in the middle of this big sea of green. Some of you are already with me and ahead of me. I'm standing just outside Memphis, Tennessee, in a place called Shelby Farms. And I'm standing on the field where one day 2000 took place, a solemn assembly of this generation of college students coming from all over the United States and around the world to pitch tents on this beautiful farm and then to gather on this field, walking in silence in the misting, overcast, gray morning sky, coming in the thousands from every direction from the various camping sites that we had around the property on this field. Big wooden tower standing right about here where I am, sort of up on the ridge, and students in 15-minute increments reading the Word of God for days leading up to May 20th, 2000, the day of one day. And then as students came onto the field, just a holiness and a hush of the presence of God. It wasn't rah-rah, it wasn't everybody bursting through the door, it wasn't, man, I'm here for the festival, I'm here to hear my favorite band, I'm here to hear some speaker talk. It was, I'm here representing my school, my campus, I'm here representing the West Coast, the East Coast, I'm here representing the North, the South, I'm here representing the tens of thousands of people at my school who are still in darkness and don't know Jesus, and I've come today to really just do one thing, and that's what we did on this field. And that was just bow our knees down on the ground and literally put our faces down on the ground. Some 40,000 students across this big bowl, all just saying to God, we're doing the thing that your word says, just being led by the prophet Joel when he said, blow a trumpet in Zion, declare a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, and gather the people. And that's what we did on this day. That's what happened on this field. And I've been back in Memphis a lot. You can hardly be out in, you know, West Memphis, out in, maybe it's East Memphis, I think. Sorry about that, all you Memphis folks. And heading out toward Cordova, where we're actually playing a concert tonight, literally a mile or two from where I'm standing right now. And that main road slices right between Shelby Farms, and you see it all the time. And, of course, I've driven back around here time to time over the last 11 years, but never really just walked right out in the middle of it and stood right here where I'm standing right now. The grass is high and it's a beautiful day. A small lake kind of down off in the little bottom part of this bowl. And I don't know how big this field is. I would have known that to the inch a few years ago as our team worked so hard to prepare this place. But maybe 10, 15, 30, 40 acres, I don't know, right here on this big field. And I just wanted to come today for remembrance. You know, we talk about that sometimes on the Passion Podcast, and it's definitely a part of our journey from the whole litany of God reminding us that he's the God of our fathers, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And why would he say that unless he wanted us to remember all the way back to the very first moments of faith when Abraham stepped out into a place he didn't know, but with a God that he fully trusted. And so it's good to remember we're all going a million miles an hour. I mean, Thanksgiving is now right on the doorstep, and I'm sure the stores are going to open any moment now so that we can all rush in before we even get the last bit of turkey and dressing in our mouths, because, oh my goodness, we wouldn't want to savor a moment of being at the house with our family around a table sharing a great meal and fellowship if we could pack up the car and roll down to Walmart and get in there and start getting our Christmas shopping done for something that is a month away when we've barely enjoyed a moment of stopping and saying, God, you're gracious and kind and full of goodness, and we just want to say thank you. And that's what I really want us to do today. This is not going to be a super involved podcast. We don't have any new music coming for you today. We don't have any fascinating interview with anyone today, although we do have a really great guest on next week's podcast that you're going to love, someone that you know very much and love already. But today is a short, brief podcast for all the people in a hurry. And I know some of you will hear this because I love the, you know, indefinite shelf life of a podcast. And some of you are listening to this a year later, 2 years later, and another stage in life, and you're like, what do you mean Thanksgiving? It's April. What are you talking about, you know, the Georgia Dome? It's 2015 when I'm listening to this podcast. Well, here's the thing that's true, whether you're on the journey in real time with us or whether you're somehow joining the podcast at another point in time from a different place in life, you're in a hurry, and I'm in a hurry. You're already anxious about tomorrow. And I'm anxious about tomorrow in some ways, too, if I'm honest. We're already, you know, halfway through today, but we feel the heat of what's on our iCal for tomorrow. And I just think it's good to stop and take a deep breath and to realize, even right now, if I can just draw it for you, I'm surrounded by gorgeous blue sky on every side. And this beautiful atmosphere that allows us to live and breathe on this little fragile planet. It's only miles thick, but it's the thing that separates us from every other floating ball of dust out in the universe, as far as we know. It creates a place for us to breathe and to live, and in its own way, it reflects and refracts light and creates a canopy that's inviting and incredible. That's on a clear day. Sorry to all the UK listeners out there. I'm describing a blue sky and you're like, please stop torturing us. But it's just perfect today. It's just, it's crisp. It's cool November. But yet standing here in the sun, plenty warm. It's not yet dead winter yet, and the grass is beginning to feel the toll, but it's still beautiful and thick and green, and it's just peaceful. There's people walking. You know, never dreamed as we bowed down here that this would just be a place that people keep walking, and their dogs running, and their birds flying, and their bikers on the outskirts of the park. But this place, this was a special place, and I just want to say thank you, Lord, for it today. I want to thank you for a beautiful journey that we're on, and the dome is in everybody's sights. That's what's in our crosshairs today. But we're standing on the shoulders of your faithfulness and the faithfulness of people. And I just want to remember this day. And I know there are people listening right now that feel what I feel. I know some of you are new to our movement and you're like, you know, wow, I was in elementary school in 2000. Those were the good days, man. Well, you know, that's awesome. But it's good for you to know today that you didn't just wake up and flip on a switch and all of a sudden passion was rolling along, but you're walking into something, you're experiencing something that's the fruit of the labor of a lot of people. And that's good for you to know, especially if you're a college-age person and you're in the Passion Movement with us, or in any movement of the Living Church of Jesus Christ, that you just didn't roll into it today. And I know that sounds like an older voice, because it is. And it's just good for you to know today that it didn't start with you. It's not going to end with you. It started way before us, and we're all walking in a harvest, really, of seeds that have been faithfully planted by people. And there were so many seeds planted on this field that day. And those of you that were here, you're nodding along, and you probably have maybe even a little tear in your eye like I do, and you're thinking, I remember right where I was, and I'm present tense, the person I am, in the place I am, following Jesus the way I am because of what happened on the ground that's underneath your feet right now. And that's awesome, isn't it? Just to remember the faithfulness of God. Some of you felt specifically called to campus ministry on this field, and you're serving students today because of it. Some of you felt called to the ends of the earth, and you're somewhere, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Nepal, Thailand, East Asia, because of what happened on this field, and it was so real and so powerful in your heart that you've never been able to walk away from what God did in your life. And some of you are just walking free today. You know, there was a moment here where we confessed our sins, and not just our sins, but confess the sins of our generation. Isaiah 6, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the King. And as we did that, we just read scripture of the cleansing power of God. I remember Beth Moore, Vodi Baca, myself, others were just reading scripture after scripture over the throng of people, of just the cleansing power of God, who takes the scarlet and makes it white as snow, who takes the rebel and allows them to be sons and daughters at the table of a living God, who forgives and who's full of mercy and who doesn't give us what our sins deserve, but quite the contrary, gives us the opposite, a life of His grace and mercy. And at some point, Chris and Matt began to sing The Wonderful Cross, and as they did, some students carried in this enormous wooden cross. I think it was the first introduction of the enormous wooden cross, which we've liked to keep that in the mix, and we've used that metaphor a lot over our journey, but I think this was the first place where it came in huge, and they just stood with it standing down on the ground. Maybe it's 10 feet tall, and they're just holding it up on a little rise that just pops up right in front of where the stage area was. And so the bowl kind of sloped down, and then right up to the stage, there was a little slope up, and right on that slope was this cross surrounded by these guys. And I don't know if you've seen the One Day DVD or not, but it's hard for me to recreate it really and do it justice, but just everyone's heart is broken by the price Christ paid. And students literally started coming, which you would expect, to kneel at the cross. But then students started running. I mean, full out sprinting, because, you know, it's 100 yards from the top of the hill to the place where the cross is. And students just started fully all out sprinting toward the cross, running, and at the end of it, not coming and kneeling politely, but literally diving head first onto the ground at the foot of this cross. And not that there's anything sacred about it, not that there was anything unusual about it. It was wood, you know, hammered together by some guys and stained or painted over, but just what it represented, people wanted to touch it. They wanted to put their hand on it and say, God, thank you for that kind of mercy that would come and cover the darkness that I've allowed to come and take up residence in my life. And at some point, that they just took hold of the cross. The students, from the guys standing there holding it, just took hold of it, unscripted, and began to pass it over the heads of this crowd of 40,000 people. And so as The Wonderful Cross was sung, and as the song after that was sung, this cross is just being, you know, cross-surfed, if you will, over this huge crowd of tens of thousands of people, all the way from the bottom to the top of this bowl. And as it would pass over, the presence of God was passing over. And I know that sounds Old Testament, and I know we live in a new covenant, but that's just what I'm telling you was happening. And freedom was coming to people, and people were stepping up and reaching over their friends, just trying to get a finger, a hand on this cross as it went by them. And it wasn't, you know, some crazy humanistic pilgrimage to some holy site that we were trying to muster up something. It was celebrating a once done, forever, eternal done thing by Jesus Christ, where He ripped this huge veil in the temple that separated all of us from the holy presence of God. And people just were feeling it. And I know some of you listening right now are shouting, because you're like, I was right there and I felt it. And the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the weight that I'd felt all my life, it was broken that day on that hillside at Shelby Farms at one day. And I experienced the freedom of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am living now, 11 years later, free because of what God did on that hillside. And it's just awesome today, isn't it? Just to stop. And that is the right word. It is awesome today. And one of the things, there's so many things to say about that day, but I'm going to wrap up. We're going to just do a little short 20-minute version of the Passion Podcast. But one of the things that I distinctly remember that I don't know has ever happened since. I know it had never happened to me before, but we'd come on this field for months. You know, we had done 127 campus events around America. David Bell, Cheryl Bell, Steve Fee, Candy Shelton at the time, Candy Pearson at the time, Candy Shelton now. The Passion Campus Band, the Passion Campus Tour. These guys had done 127 campuses in about 7 months, all through the fall of 1999 and into the early spring of 2000. We'd done 8 regional events around America, places like Minneapolis, remember that for sure. Wow, San Jose, California, Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, Georgia, places in between. And people were ready. We'd done a 40-day prayer journey, and we'd been to this field a lot. I'd come here with some of our leaders, community group leaders, some of the guys that are still leading your community groups, campus pastors from around Memphis. And we'd walk this field. We'd walk where these people are walking right now, around these walking trails. We'd walk the borders of this field, and we would just read scripture and pray and prepare the way. And we just kept building and building and building a sense of expectation that this is God's time. This is God's place. And when we got here, we did some events. We did gatherings around the property the night or two before. And we had, I remember Shane and Shane leading over that rise right over that way at a little camping gathering down there. And people would camp down there, and they had a little gathering site down there. And across the way over here, Matt Redmond was leading a little gathering site. And over this way, there was another band leading a gathering site. And this band's leading maybe, I don't know, 6 or 8 or 10 little gathering sites around. But that was the first day. No one even came together on the first day. It was just each gathering site preparing and getting ready. And then on the morning of the 20th, as people came, it really was truly holy. And back off stage, we were here early, and Svodi Bakum was speaking, and Piper was here, Beth Moore, like I mentioned, myself, and others, and Charlie Hall, and Chris Tomlin was here, David Crowder, Matt Redmond. These were just the early days, you know. And I remember we're standing off stage in the little tent where all of us speakers gathered, and we just started praying, and students are here by now, and maybe it's 30, 45 minutes before we're supposed to start. And we just start praying, and before long, everybody's on their knees, and before long, everybody's feeling the weight of it all. And unlike any place I've ever been before, you know, normally in that setting, especially if you're a worship leader in a band or you're a speaker or leader ministry of some kind, and you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, man, if I ever get the chance to lead in front of 40,000 people or to sing in front of 40,000 people or be somewhere like that, that would just be so incredible. That's going to be the highlight of life, you know. And man, I'm telling you, it just flipped upside down on us in that moment. And I started looking around the circle, and I think, I don't know who said it first, but someone said, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going up there. And when they said it, I remember looking back at them and going, I know, I'm not going up there either. And then it'd be look to the next guy and say, you go up there. You just go up there. And then that person would be like, I'm not going up there. And that person look over at the person across the circle from them and say, no, I'm not going up there. You go up there. And no one there wanted to set foot on that stage. It's some, you know, outdoor, canopied, festival-type stage-looking thing, huge, enormous, and not one single person in that tent wanted to set foot on it. No one wanted to step up and bear the weight of all of the expectation that had come into this time. It was just, Lord, we don't want to even set foot, you know, into this moment. We just want to continue to be on our knees and let you do what you want to do. And eventually, I don't know how long that lasted. It wasn't like, oh, that was a nice moment. We all acted humble. you know, let's go do something. I mean, it really was kind of a moment where a little Australian shepherd just rocked up and dropped off his little throw toy. He wants me to throw it. That's pretty awesome. And his owner has come the other way. So I'm going to throw it back towards her. Okay, I'm throwing it for him. Now, is he going to bring it back to me or bring it back to her? No, he's going his own way. That's awesome. Oh, man, right in the middle of the holiness of the One Day 2000 podcast, there is a little black and white Australian Shepherd type cutest dog you can imagine with something that looks like a small version of a steering wheel that is pliable, that's covered with dog saliva. It just got dropped off at my feet, and he's like, please, please, please. Oh, that's great. But, you know, it wasn't that moment of, hey, yeah, all right, that was cool and humble. Now, you know, let's get up there and kick it off. But it was a while before anybody was like, okay, cover me. You guys cover me. I'm going up there. I felt like it was, you know, I'm not trying to overstate it, but it felt a little bit like the Old Testament days when the high priest would go behind the veil and they'd tie a rope on him in case in the presence of God he died. They'd have to drag him out. And obviously we weren't in the Holy of Holies and we weren't living in the Old Testament days, but it was fantastic. And I just wanted to say that today for two reasons, really. I mean, one, let's grab some of that. Let's lose the slick, highly programmed, everybody arrives at church just in time to, you know, have a cappuccino that we can barely finish before we bolt out of the green room door and go lead the people of God. Or let's lose the, I'm at the event and, you know, wherever stage of life you are, you know, there's 40 kids at the Disciple Now or 600 kids at the youth rally or 5,000 people at the conference I'm speaking at, or put it in your own context of your own situation, where you lead, how you live, what you're about. And let's have that sense of, God, this is yours and this is big. And so, A, we expect something amazing in this moment because you are here and you are God and your spirit is here and your presence is here. So this is just not going to be ordinary, regular, run-of-the-mill anything. And we're not going to casually cruise into it. The priests of old have not been transformed into the casual, too cool for everybody, got my Starbucks in one hand, going to lead the people of God with the other hand, but we still are carrying a sense that we are connected to a journey of faith and we have been called by God to this awesome privilege of leading people. And every single time it should drive us to our knees, and every single time it should make us say, you go out there. No, you go out there. No, you go out there. No, you go out there. God, give us mercy and cover us as we go out there to lead your people. That's the first thing. And the second thing is just simply thank yous. And I want to thank the volunteers who helped with this. I want to thank the guy that was working at the farm at the time, the director of this farm. I want to thank the people of Memphis that rose up. Some of you are listening to this today, the churches of Memphis who rose up. I want to thank our team, our staff, Matt Morris, the people that were working alongside of us, Tim Smith, obviously Cheryl and the team, some of our team now. I want to thank the volunteers. I'm seeing faces of people. I'm seeing a guy bolting across here in a car at high speed and my wife calling him down and saying, hey, you're going to slow that car down or you're not going to drive it on this field. I'm thanking that volunteer right now. You know who you are. I'm thanking the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who came out here and camped, set up campsites, who managed this thing. We didn't half know what we were doing in 2000, but we just were trying to take a quantum step of touching this generation. And I want to thank all those bands that played. I honestly can't remember every single person that played that day. It's been a long time, but a lot of you remember. And I want to thank every person that was here, every person that gave leadership, every person that came and staked out a camping area, every person that came and drove a golf cart around for a week or two and put up a porta potty. Scott Carter, who was sort of masterminding a lot of the infrastructure for this thing. Jerome Smith and his team. I remember him putting up some of that black silt fence at the last minute, making aisles out here on this field so we could sort of organize where people sat. Just the whole thing from top to bottom. And Shelley and I are so grateful to have people around us like that, to walk with like that, to share life and share vision with. And just want to say thank you to each one of you and just let you know that seeds went in the ground right here 11 years ago, and there's a harvest, and that harvest is still bearing fruit, and it's going to continue to. It's not even remotely close to finishing its course. Those seeds are doing what God intended for them to do, and His word has gone out, and it's accomplishing every single thing that He set out for it to do. One day, 2,000. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace that you pour on us. And thank you for a moment like that that is literally tattooed on the hearts and the souls of the people that were here that day. Thank you for those kinds of moments where it wasn't a, oh yeah, I was at that, it was cool. But it was, oh my goodness, I was at that and I still feel it in my heart. And we just thank you for it. I thank you that you brought us here. We thought maybe this was it. I remember clearly thinking, this is it. You know, we've done 4 events. It's the best we can do. There are 40,000 students from around the nation, Lord. I'm sure this is what you called us to do. And you were thinking even that day, even though we didn't know it that day, no, there's a whole lot more for passion. There's a whole lot more to this little fuse that's burning before it does its job and runs its course. And I thank you that you know that today. You know everything, and you hold the future for me, for passion, for all the people who are listening today. And so as we roll into Thanksgiving, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for the past. I know a lot of the past isn't pleasant, but there's so much grace in it all. There's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. There's goodness after goodness after goodness. There's outpouring of your favor after outpouring of your favor. And we just want to say thank you today. We just want to lift up our hands in praise to you. Just want to lift up our hands in your name, Jesus. And we want to say you are awesome. You do awesome things. We are here for you, and we are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. I can't tell you how special it is just to have a chance to stand out here and be in this place. I hope if you're on your way to Thanksgiving that it's just full of life. I know some of you dread it and some of you look forward to it all year long. But I just pray grace on all of us as we head into family, that we make the most of it, that we would be gracious, that we would try to think of others more than ourselves, that we would try to seize the opportunity that God gives us just to love people and pour into their lives and build them up, and that you'd give us a grateful heart. You know, I pray that for each one of us, that God would just make us sensitive in these next few days. And just remember, it's just always a little public service announcement from Passion Conferences from me to you. If you're going to fry a turkey this year at Thanksgiving, just always remember a couple of the most important things you can do. Make sure all the stuff, the neck and the innards and all that stuff and the little plastic pouch that they shove way up in there, make sure you get that out before you fry the turkey. Secondly, make sure that you check your water level. Actually, by filling the pan with water and putting your whole turkey in it so that you can mark out exactly where the oil needs to go before it's 325 degrees and you drop the turkey in there. So always double check your water, and please don't fry the turkey indoors. That's just a little public service announcement from me to you. Happy Thanksgiving from me, Shelley, everyone at Passion. We look forward to being back with you next week. Got a special guest and a little interview you're going to enjoy on the Passion Podcast. We're headed to the Dome, everybody. Live podcast coming on November 30th, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Make sure you mark that on your calendar. You want to be somewhere by a phone or a computer so you can log on. Join me for that. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. We are the free, the freedom generation, singing of mercy.